नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 3, text number, I don't know, 23 to 32, and the rest of the Bhagavatam too. Let's see, which one are we supposed to read? We read from 32, okay. I know, that's right, but the marker's at 32. But that's not what's on the board. Okay. It would probably help if I did what's on the board, although it may be a different canto. The Putra-Pautra. Oh, there it is. Tat-Putra-Pautra-Naptrinam. Tat-Putra-Pautra-Naptrinam. Gotrani-Ca-Sasrin-Mahe. Gotrani-Ca-Nasrin-Mahe. Kalo Biyatas Trinava, Kalo Biyatas Trinava, Chatur Yuga Vikalpita. There, Putra of the sons, Pautra of the grandsons, Naptrinam, and of the descendants, Gotrani, the family dynasties, Cha, also, Na, not, Srinmahe, we do hear of, Kalaha, time, Abhiyataha, have passed, Three. Nava, mine. Chaturyuga, four yugas. Satya, Treta, Dwapar, and Kali. Vikalpitaha, thus measured. Translation. 27 Chaturyugas have already passed. Those upon whom you may have decided are now gone, and so are their sons and grandsons and other descendants. You cannot even hear about their names. Responsibly, please repeat. 27 Chaturyugas have already passed. Those upon whom you may have decided are now gone, and so are their sons, grandsons, and other descendants. You cannot even hear about their names. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. During Lord Brahma's day, 14 Manus, or 1,000 Mahayugas, pass away. Brahma informed King Kakudni that 27 Mahayugas, each consisting of the four periods Satya, Treta, Dwapar, and Kali, had already passed. All the kings and other great personalities born in those yugas had now departed from memory into obscurity. This is the way of time as it moves through past, present, and future. And this is the way that the Bhagavatam moves from one story to another. That we were talking about the marriage of Shukanya and Chaivana Muni, and now we're talking about King Kakudni and his daughter, and I don't think you got the connection, so we'll read from text number 23, the marriage of Shukanya and Chaivana Muni. As you remember, Chaivana Muni was in his ashram. He was very old, therefore his body had become decrepit, and he was living in a glow, in the holes made by a glowworm. And his Shukanya, she was with her father in that ashram. She saw the glowing substance. She took a blade of grass and poked it. Just happened to be the eyes of Chaivana Muni. So she poked out his eyes. And so the king's army got a reaction that they couldn't pass stool or urine. I guess that was pretty painful. So the king could understand that something was wrong. They had displeased Chaivana. So then he propitiated Chaivana, begged for forgiveness. And Chaivana didn't even really listen to him, but just asked how old his daughter was and whether she was married. It wasn't incidentally that he was asking. He actually had in his mind that he wanted a wife. So even after practicing very heavy austerities, and even though his body was very decrepit and he was very old, still, he was interested in this young girl. So the father, the king, in order to avoid being cursed by Chaivana, passed her on to, or gave her Kanyadan, or gave his daughter to Chaivana. And being a chaste woman, understanding her mistake and also being a very chaste lady, she served Chaivana quite faithfully. And he was also, he was old and he was irritable. Happens when people are old, they become irritable because death is impending, I suppose. Anyway, she understood the mentality of her husband and very carefully served him. Just for many reasons, to keep the household very peaceful. And this subject matter is discussed in a number of places in the Bhagavatam, Devahuti and Kardama. It's described how Devahuti served her husband very faithfully, and even Prabhupada said that is victory for a woman, that she is able to attract and pacify her husband and keep peace in the household, even though she may be certainly more attractive and even more intelligent in many ways than her husband. But, you know, it's like dancing. If two people try to lead, it just won't work out. Somebody has to lead. And therefore, generally, it is understood that a man should lead and the woman follows his steps. So similarly everywhere. So Sukanya followed Chaivana. And again, Chaivana understood the mentality of his wife. And so the Ashwini Kumaras came to his ashram and he requested them to give him a youthful body because that's what a young girl wants. In fact, I believe Lord Chaitanya cursed the gopis that you will have a very old husband. And it was a curse. So anyway, Chaivana used his power to attain a young, beautiful body. And then Sukanya was very happy. She had maintained her chastity. And then her father came to see her. He was desirous of doing a yajna. And Chaivana was the most powerful of all priests at that time. So he thought, my son-in-law will help me. He came there and he saw a young man. How is this? A young man. I left my daughter in charge of an old man, and here's a young, beautiful man. So, in fact, he was as beautiful as the Ashwini Kumaras, the two physicians of the demigods. And actually, it's interesting, they had made an agreement that if they helped him attain a youthful body, he would perform a yajna and give them a full kumbha of somarasa, which they weren't entitled to get. Now, one might think, well, why weren't they entitled to get a kumbha of somarasa? It appears that physicians, even amongst the demigods, I hesitate to say it, but they're actually sudras. Physicians are sudras. There's the example of Murari Gupta, who was considered, of course he was a Vaishnava, and a Vaishnava is never a sudra, but he was coming from that background. Mukunda Das, who was the royal physician. There's an interesting story where Mukunda was discussing with the Muslim king about some type of medicine, and they were seated on a high platform, and while they were discussing, one of the servants of the Muslim king came and began to fan the king with a peacock feather, peacock fan. And Mukunda saw the peacock fan and he began, immediately thought of Krishna, and he fainted in ecstasy. So that's the kind of sudra he was. And there are other examples of this. Pundarik Vidyanidhi also was considered a sense enjoyer. It is not so easy always to tell the activities or you can tell something about the external activities of a Vaishnava, but to understand there are two things, Tatasta Lakshana, and what's the other one? Huh? Swarup Lakshana. So the Tatastha Lakshana are the external activities, but the Swarup Lakshana, his internal mood, etc. Not easy to understand So all of these people were great Vaishnavas, although it appeared that they had some connection with their caste of being Sudras. So anyway, from text 23, thus Sukanya explained how her husband had received the beautiful body of a young man. When the king heard this, he was very surprised, and in great pleasure he embraced his beloved daughter. Chaivana Muni, by his own prowess, enabled King Sarayati to perform the Soma Yajna. The Muni offered a full pot of Soma Rasa to the Aswini Kumaras, although they were unfit to drink it. King Indra became perturbed and angry and wanted to kill Chaivana Muni, and therefore he impetuously took up his thunderbolts. But Chaivana Muni, by his powers, paralyzed Indra's arm that held the thunderbolt. Now, Indra's pretty powerful. All the demigods, he is practically the most powerful. That's why he's the king. But in this situation, Brahma Tejas, the power of a Brahmana, is greater than the power of a Kshatriya. And there are incidences of this also when Vishwamitra attacked Vasishtha or tried to steal away his cow. He tried to fight, but Vasishtha was just much more powerful because of his Brahma Tejas. And then Vishwamitra became interested. Oh, there's greater power there. So he tried to take a step up from being a Kshatriya. He wanted to become a Brahmana, which is generally not done in the same body in that culture, certainly materially. Of course, spiritually, none of us are Sudras or Vaishyas or Kshatriyas or Brahmanas. We're Dasa, Dasanu, Das, servants of Krishna. So Indra was paralyzed by Chaivana. Although the Aswini Kumaras were only physicians and were therefore excluded from drinking somaras in sacrifices, the demigods agreed to allow them henceforward to drink it. King Sarayati begot three sons named Uttanabarhi, Anartha, and Burisena. From Anartha came a son named Revata. O Maharaj Parikshit, subduer of enemies, this Revata constructed a kingdom known as Kushasthali in the depths of the ocean. There he lived and ruled such tracts of land as Anartha, etc. He had 100 very nice sons, whom the eldest was Kukudmi. There are examples of this. Of course, Varuna, he has a wonderful kingdom beneath the ocean. And there's some story in the Ramayana about a relative of Ravana's who had such a powerful kingdom that he would walk into a room and the lights would go on. Everything could be done by mental prowess. Does anybody know that story? No? Okay. Anyway, this Revata constructed a kingdom known as Kushasthali in the depths of the ocean. His eldest son was Kukudmi, taking his own daughter Revati. Kukudmi went to Lord Brahma in Brahmaloka, which is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, and inquired about a husband for her. It appears that Brahmaloka, the abode of Lord Brahma, is also transcendental above the three modes of material nature, apavritam. So it is above the three modes of material nature, but it's still within the material world. And just as we have the pole star, the north star, but that's a spiritual planet. Anyway, this is the first, it's not the first time I've heard it, but it's the second time. Maybe Gopi Pranadana can tell us more about that. Brahmaloka? Huh? No, it's not a spiritual planet.
The influence of Maya is only very subtle.
Subtle. So it's not completely above the modes of material nature. Okay. Something like the Viraja River, it's on the border. Okay. When Kukudmi arrived there, Lord Brahma was engaged in hearing musical performances by the Gandharvas and had not a moment to talk with him. Therefore, Kukudmi waited, and at the end of the musical performances, he offered his obeisances to Lord Brahma and thus submitted his long-standing desire. After hearing his words, Lord Brahma, who is most powerful, laughed loudly and said to Kukudmi, O king, of all those whom you may have decided within the core of your heart to accept as your son-in-law have passed away in the course of time. And then the verse that we read. So, here's a danger for you. I haven't found it written anywhere, but tradition has it, or the grapevine has it, that Srila Prabhupada said that he was worried that some of his disciples would not get free from material desires in this lifetime and would go to the heavenly planets. Has anyone ever heard that before? Huh? Something similar? Okay, anyway, the point is if you go to the heavenly planets, life is longer than 10,000 years, and when you come back down, ISKCON Incorporated will be gone. The law books for mankind may not be here. So you better not take a chance. Better to finish your material desires in this lifetime and get free by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, because it is definitely, at least by all of our calculation and many others also not connected, that it is a surefire path, that Srila Prabhupada's mercy is very powerful. Just like this Nrisingadev deity here, he, of course, we call him Nrisingadev, but he's also known as Stanu Nrisingadev, because he's the only deity on the planet and maybe in the universe that's being worshipped nicely. There are other Ugra Nrisingadev deities, but according to the Stapati who constructed and does, I guess, a great deal, that he comes in a line of Stapatis, or can't call them sculptors exactly, but anyway, who creates deities, Nrisingadev deities. This deity is very, very special. So, in the same way, this movement is very, very special. Srila Prabhupada is very, very special. And it's just the right thing to get his mercy somehow or other. If you hear that Srila Prabhupada's mercy is available in the marketplace, go there immediately and purchase it. And if you find any difficulties or problems, congratulations, you're one of many, many devotees who are perhaps struggling due to miseries caused by the mind, miseries caused by nature, miseries caused by other living beings that are challenging our sincere attempts to become Krishna conscious. But you should know that your little struggle is really not very serious. In other words, whatever difficulties you are experiencing, others have experienced and are experiencing even to a greater degree, and they're pushing on. One of my favorite stories in the Mahabharata is the story of Nala, King Nala, and Damayanti. There was the Pandavas were in the forest, and Arjuna had gone off to acquire weapons. They all blamed Yudhisthira anyway for his gambling. But here, he, Yudhisthira, had sent Arjuna off, and Arjuna was, he was the jewel amongst all the Pandavas. They really were attracted to and surcharged by his energy. Narayan Rishi, who's really a great personality. And here he had been sent off by Yudhisthira. So Yudhisthira got no end of criticism from Bhima. And even Draupadi, his wife, would constantly berate him. So it was very difficult for him. He was a soft-hearted person. Even to some extent, Nakula and Sahadev. So he was feeling so bad that one time Brihadashva came in that area of the forest, and Yudhisthira's only question to him was, do you know of anybody, either in the past or in the future, the present, anybody who's suffering like I'm suffering so much? And Brihadashva kind of poo-pooed him, or told him that, you know, your suffering is nothing. Let me tell you about Nala and Damayanti. And he told a similar story about Nala, who was a great king, king of the Nishadas, and more beautiful than a celestial, and Damayanti, who was the most attractive woman in the, practically in the universe, Indra and Agni and Yama and other devatas came to her Swayamvara. They were so attracted to her. And of course they have so many damsels, beautiful women in the higher planets, but when they heard Damayanti was being offered in her, or she was going to choose a husband in her Swayamvara, they went there. So somehow or other, by the arrangement of the Lord, Nala, Damayanti had already given her heart to Nala. She couldn't choose anyone else. And that precipitated the anger of Kali, our good old friend Kali, who we probably precipitated his anger, I don't know. Somehow or other, it's very hard to practice devotional service in Kali's age. So he caused them so much distress that Nala and Damayanti left the palace after being, of course, cheated at a gambling match. What else? With only a piece of cloth just to cover their bodies. Small piece of cloth. And they had no food, no water, anything. At least Yudhisthira had his brothers and enough opulence to live in the forest and had help from so many people. But Nala and Damayanti had nothing. And Kali had actually taken over the mind of Nala, so he's constantly pricking him. And the story is so full of adverse conditions. They separated, Nala separated from his wife in the middle of the forest, and piteous condition, very bewildering story how this could have happened to such righteous people. One thinks, how could it happen to such great persons? But finally, by the grace of the Lord, they overcame their adversities. They were, Nala regained his kingdom, and he prospered by giving in charity to the Brahmanas and acting in a very pious way. So Brihadashva told Yudhisthira, don't worry, you will be victorious. And we should know also in our personal little struggles, in our society's struggles, in every way, if we stick to Prabhupada's lotus feet, we will be victorious. History tells us this. We're not doing that badly. Anyone with who's good at pulse reading can tell you that we're making progress, albeit somewhat slow, but that's the way time moves. And therefore, just be patient. Even here, we're reading the Bhagavatam, and there are things that we just have to be patient to understand. It's very hard to understand how there are higher planetary systems. It's very hard to understand how the time cycles are moving at a different speed. It's very hard for us to understand chastity. A man's strength is from his brahmacharya. He becomes very powerful by practicing brahmacharya. Similarly, a woman becomes very powerful by developing the qualities of chastity. It has nothing to do or less to do with others. I don't become a brahmachari because everybody is following. I become a brahmachari because that's the formula given here for me to become strong so I can go back to Godhead and get out of the material world. And similarly, a woman fixes her mind to be chaste because that is in her self-interest in every way. She will not be happy by a sensuous relationship with a husband, or vice versa. A man will not be happy. But we will be happy by following the codes of religion as described in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, and even the Mahabharata has many wonderful lessons to teach us. But we just have to be strong and have faith. That's my conclusion. So I will stop there. Are there any corrections or questions? Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.